Lord is good. We're going to be in the book of Psalms today, in chapter 91. Heard a little bird said that Bill actually forgot something and referenced me. It's good not to be the only one. All right. Psalm 91, we'll read the first couple of verses, and then we're going to concentrate on one particular verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. And if you read the rest of the psalm, it pretty much goes along the same veins and along the same lines. This has been a popular song with soldiers that are praying for the protection of their God. And it was supposedly, as far as we know, written by Moses, who faced a lot of opposition and a lot of temptation. And I want to concentrate this morning on verse 3. In verse 3, especially the first part, where it says, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler." And let's ask God to bless us. Lord, every minute of every day we need You. We are so dependent upon You. We can't breathe without You, Lord. And we love You for taking care of us and for walking with us and for never leaving us and never forsaking us, being so faithful to us. And Lord, I ask that You would bless Your word today. Comfort the Christians, instruct, challenge. Lord, if there's anybody lost in this room here today that doesn't know You, Lord, please open their eyes that they would understand and see and call upon Your name. Lord, we're in Your hands. However You see fit to use this meeting, I pray that You would in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 3, "Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler." Follows along the lines of what he's trying to talk about in this psalm right here, the author, in dealing with protection. And if you read the rest of the psalm, you'll find that this is a plea to God to protect him from his enemies. And so this particular verse specifically deals with physical enemies, at least here in the book of Psalms. There's another psalm. It's if you hold your place there, look at Psalm 142. I'm remembering today, I'm just having a hard time seeing. 142. Look at verse 3. He says, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me." And this language is repeated several times in the book of Psalms and in the Bible. And the language kind of got my attention. So we've got a word picture here before us, and it's of a bird. And a fowler, who is a bird hunter, and his tools of his trade, which is a snare. And then we have a deliverer, and the one who delivers the bird from the fowler. And so, we've got a lot of instruction on spiritual life here. We've got a lot of insight as to how to live a life here in this world, and it could apply to physical enemies, but I would probably, if I was safe to guess, there's not many in this room here today that have many physical enemies right now. excuse me. We live in a pretty safe, Excuse me. We live in a pretty safe time. I got all the way to church, and I didn't hit any roadblocks, no IEDs. I didn't get anybody shoot at me, at least not guns. Sometimes they shoot other things at me, but not guns. But generally, pretty safe, you know? We don't have a lot of physical enemies. And I think what it does is that sometimes it lulls us into a sense of complacency into thinking that because we don't have any physical enemies, we are not looking over our shoulder at somebody that wants to cause us harm, that means that we don't have any spiritual enemies either. But I do want you to know we have a spiritual enemy. I don't like to be characterized as a bird. You know, I want to be characterized as something like a bear or a lion or something like that. But a bird is pretty helpless when it's in the snare of the fowler. And that's how we're characterized. I don't know if you realize it, but we are dependent upon God for everything. Amen. For the very breath. Colossians teaches us that by him, all things consist. I don't know where we get the arrogance and the pride into thinking that, you know, we can actually keep alive our own soul, but we can't. And we have no power against God. We have very little power against our enemy. There is a verse in the New Testament, and it says, it's a very famous verse, and we've all heard it many times, and it says that the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. And what this characterizes is it characterizes a conflict between us and our enemy, and the enemy specifically here being the devil. And he's got... He's got a tool of trade, and this tool of trade is a snare. Before we get into that too much, look in the New Testament, because I want to show you that this language is also repeated in the New Testament, just so that you can see that we're not taking anything out of context by applying this spiritually. In 1 Timothy in chapter 3, we have advice for bishops, and what kind of character that they need to have. And in chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Moreover, speaking of this bishop, he must have a good report of them that are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil." Basically, what he's talking about is anybody who's going to be a bishop in the church has to have a good reputation. Someone who is accused of being an embezzler, a known thief, or any other kind of character deficiency probably is not going to make a very good pastor. A past thief, a past embezzler, possibly, but he's talking about character, and the reason why he says that is because he doesn't want the church to fall into reproach and into the snare of the devil. And what that tells us is that there is a devil. It's not figurative. The devil is a real entity. He walks about. Satan is not just a metaphor. He is an actual spiritual being. And I'm going to tell you, he's bent on our destruction. He's a hunter. He hunts souls. He's a very diligent hunter. He takes his craft seriously, and he puts a lot of thought into his craft. There are men on this earth that have put a lot of thought into this idea of hunting. Just go to Bass Pro Shop and see. Kids wanted to take me somewhere on Black Friday, and I didn't want to go to any stores on Black Friday. And I mean, why would I want to, you know? Go to Target for what? To get a dollar off on a towel? No way, man. I was not enthused at all, and so the kids said, "Okay, well, we'll take you to Bass Pro Shop," and things started looking up after that, and I said, "Okay," and it's always a mistake to go into Bass Pro Shop when you don't have any money, because then you have to fight, you know, lust and desire and all those other things. But it's amazing. Do you know that they don't have just one outfit of camouflage? They've got like 90 different patterns, all for different scenarios, for West Texas and Mid Texas and for green forests, and they've got all kinds of things. Do you know that they've got every known deer blind known to man, and you can order just about everything. And the guns, man, that, I mean, you have a rifle for every animal on the face of this earth. I mean, you think, oh, come on, Brian, you're exaggerating a little bit. Go to Bass Pro Shop, you're going to see. Do you know that people have given a lot of thought into this idea of hunting animals? And so the devil also has put a lot of thought into hunting the souls of men. Amen. Into hunting you. So you're walking down the street, and you feel safe because nobody's following you, but don't feel too safe because there's a hunter out there. And he's characterized here as putting a snare out. Now, that's not hard to figure out. That's not hard to imagine. I don't know how many hunters nowadays still use snares because I don't hunt birds. I did one time. Somebody invited me dove hunting, stayed out there all day, got one dove, and I made less than a bite once I got it cooked, and there's just no attraction to that, so I don't hunt, but there are people that do. I guess there are people out there that still use snares, and there's a verse in Proverbs that says, the snare is, and I'm not going to forget this, the snare, surely in vain, thank you, Lord, surely in vain is the net laid in the sight of any bird. What does the verse mean? It means that he's not going to put something out there in plain sight. Listen, we got to get a hold of this. Because Christians are so gullible. They're so naive. They think they can get involved with just anything and it's not going to hurt them. And it's not true. The devil will take his snare and he's going to secretly camouflage that thing and put it all around so that you don't see it when you walk up on it. Amen. He's not going to show you his true intentions. We were in the book of Proverbs a couple of weeks ago in Sunday school, and I didn't go too deeply into the verse, but there is a verse about a young man that is out on the streets and he meets the adulterous woman. And he goes in like a bird to the snare. He doesn't even know that it's for his life. He's ignorant of the danger. Listen, I don't want to turn the entire church body into a bunch of paranoids, all right? But you do have to have your spiritual eyes open. All right? So there are some things that, you know, I made some rules for myself very early on in Christianity, just in that particular venue, in order to protect my marriage, in order to protect my relationship with my wife. And I determined when we were out, we'd be out visiting and everything, if I would visit a house and I was by myself, I didn't have another brother with me, then if the sister was home alone, I wouldn't go in. I would talk to her on the porch. You think, come on, man, you're being really weird. But you know something? There's an enemy out there. And there's an enemy out there that can take advantage of you in your weakness. And I'll tell you something else. Everybody's got different weaknesses, right? Some people I could list them all, but there's no sense in trying to nail everybody, but you could probably look inside your heart. You know where you're weak and where you're strong, right? You know where your besetting sins are. Nobody has to point it out to you. You know already. Do you know the devil already has that as information? And you know what he does? He will cater, because what they'll do is they'll lay a snare in there, and then you got to have something to draw the bird in. So what do? You put some bait out there. What are a lot of people doing right now this time of year? they're putting corn and little pieces of apple and stuff like that. You know what I've been doing too? I've been seeing little game trails on my land. I've been throwing corn out there, you know, because you're trying to hunt something. You're trying to draw something in. And you go to Bass Pro Shop and you see they've got everything known to me. They've got stuff that'll guarantee a certain kind of animal. They'll draw it in. Listen, the devil, he knows how to entice you. Isn't that what we have to deal with? What does Proverbs chapter 1 say? My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. That's actually a good verse, by the way. We ought to read it rather than just give reference to it. Look at Proverbs in chapter 1, verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, because it gives us an excellent principle on how the devil uses our weaknesses in order to cause us to fall into temptation. He says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily, that's secretly, for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grass and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot with us and let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. And then there's that verse that we quoted. Surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird, and they lay wait for their own blood and lurk privily for their own lives. And so are the ways of every one that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. We have a perfect example right now, just south of the border of this particular thing right here. I was reading an article the other day about these young kids that are getting drawn into the narco trade. And what they'll do is they'll take kids that are, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, mostly from poor neighborhoods that don't have a lot, maybe dreaming of having things, you know, and they'll give them a watch, or they'll have him stand on the end of the street and be a lookout, you know, and give them a couple of hundred pesos, you know, for being a lookout. And all of a sudden, now they've got money, and they can go out and they can buy some things, and they didn't really have to work hard to get it. And the narcos, over time, begin to draw them in and give them more and more complex tasks to do until they're finally snared. And they don't get a tremendous amount of money, but they get more money than they've ever seen in their life. And you know what they turn these kids into? They turn them into assassins. Kids, about the same age as some of your kids, they turn them into human assassins. Now you think, how in the world could you take a human being from being an innocent kid to being an assassin for the narco trade? It's by degrees, and it's by enticement, and they use their own desires against them, and they absolutely destroy their lives. There's once you're that deep in, there's no going back, even if you did get out. And I mean, there are things in your life that will never ever be the same as long as you live, and it's because sinners have enticed them. Listen, we got to be real careful who we follow. Amen. And especially, and I could preach to young people, you know, be careful who you hang out with. But listen, some of you older folks, you got to be careful who you hang out with too. Amen. Hey man, you may not be facing the peer pressure in high school and dealing with that. But listen, there's some people around the water cooler at the office that you shouldn't be hanging around. Hey, when the talk starts getting negative and the talk starts getting really you fill in the hyphen on that one. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Hey, listen, you ought to be your own man. You ought to be your own. You ought to be have a character that's strong enough that you decide you're going to follow the Lord, and you're not going to go just the way that everybody else is going. And we've got a lot of convincing out there. We've got the whole nation right now going in a certain direction, and it seems like certain Christians are the only ones that are standing up and saying no. But that's exactly what you have to do. You know, the devil, he will use companions against you. Yeah, so there are times when you've got to watch who you hang around. Amen. He says, surely in vain is the net spread in the sight of any bird. So you've got the bait, got the snare, and then you've got the event that takes place that actually snares you, that draws you in. And this is not a show of hands. This is a rhetorical question for you to answer you and yourself. But have you ever been addicted to anything? Have you ever been addicted to anything? Have you ever been to a drug? Have you ever been addicted to alcohol? Have you ever been addicted to, or ever been addicted to covetousness? Have you ever been addicted to something that is absolutely destroying you? Look back, think back. What's the experience? The experience is that when you talk to people that are in something, I talked to a man one time that could not get off cocaine. Is everything that he tried, he could not free himself. But he did not want to be there. But he couldn't get free. Do you realize that that is the desire you into something to incapacitate? Can't have your soul. He knows that he's not going to be able to drag you down to the pits of hell because you're saved and you have the blood of Jesus Christ on your own. Take you out of the running. He can drop you and take you out of the running, and he knows how to do it. He's very good. He has the tools. He has the experience. He has the bait, and he knows you, and he knows what you need to drop. He knows what he needs to do to hunt you down and to drop you. So what do you need? You need a deliverer. Yeah, there's two senses to this. One, delivering deliverance in two ways. Number one, you're going to need a preemptive deliverance. You know what you're going to need? You're going to need the Lord on your side preemptively delivering you. And you know what that means? That means you are going to have to learn his ways. You are going to have to learn your God. You're going to have to learn what tools God gives you for protection. I'll give you one particular one that I have used over and over and over again over the years. And it's in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10 in verse 13. Listen to the advice here. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God, who will not be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Amen. This ought to be your memory verse. This ought to be in your arsenal, in your defense arsenal against the wiles of the devil. This right here ought to be, because you go back to the wilderness. Remember when Jesus was taken into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil? Remember that? All the cool stuff that he could have done to the devil. Think of it. He could have knocked him right there on the spot, done all kinds of miracles to just shame the devil into silence. He did all kinds of things. He could have called down angels. He could have started a war. The possibilities are endless. But he did one simple thing. And he quoted the word of God. He quoted the word of God. The devil would twist and give his argument, and Jesus would, and he would simply say, thus saith the Lord. This is what God said. And you know what I appreciate about that? That's something I do. I can emulate that. When I'm in a battle with the devil, and when there's temptation, and it looks like there is a path that I'm being enticed towards, and there's a snare into that path, then I have in my arsenal that I can use to defend myself against the wiles of the devil. And that's the word of God right here. This one right here says there's no temptation in you, but such as is common to man. Have you ever felt like you're the only one that has ever suffered whatever it is that you're suffering? And the devil do, he'll isolate you. And he'll get you to thinking that everybody else is having a good time and their Christian life is easy. And you're the only one that's got it hard. You're the only one that has it tough. But what you are facing is common to man. You're not the one that has ever faced that temptation. And you're not the only one that has ever had to fight against that particular temptation. We also know that God is faithful. To not to suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Do you believe that? Sometimes you don't. Because you get into temptation and you say, I might as well just give up. It's just too hard. There's no, listen, there's always a way out. Somebody said one time, yeah, the only way out was for me to be killed. But it's, sorry, I know that's not comforting. Hey, sometimes death is a way out. Listen, somebody says, do this or die. Sometimes you just have to say no, and Christians in the past have. And they are heroes. They are amazing because they did not bow even in the face of losing their own life. Oh, listen, there's always a way. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. Hey, we saw the behind the scenes when Job was getting hit by the devil. We saw the behind the scenes stuff. We didn't just see what appeared on the movie. We saw what happened in the throne room in heaven. We saw the conversation between the devil and God. And what did God do? He set a hedge around Job that the devil could only go so far. That's the protection of God. You got to believe that. Because, listen, we need to stand up to the temptations of the flesh. We need to stand up to the temptations of the natural man. We need to stand up to the enticements of the devil. And listen, in James, when it talks about it, it says every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And that's exactly the devil's plan. He uses your own weaknesses against you. But I want you to know that we have a deliverer. And sometimes that deliverance is not an amazing show of force or some incredible miracle. Sometimes it's the fact that he's just walking with you. Amen. You got to know that he's there. You got to know that you can make it through. That you don't have to give up. You don't have to howl. You don't have to say, this is too strong. This is too much. I can't handle this anymore. You got to know that he's there with you. I saw something the other day on the internet that I really enjoyed, and it was about the footprint of the story, about the one set of footprints, and it's there where God carried you and everything. But then the guy asked, he says, what's that big dark streak in the ground? And God says, that's where I dragged you, kicking and screaming. Isn't it amazing, the deliverer? Listen, God's trying to save you from some stuff. He's trying to deliver you. I remember, oh, there's a verse associated with that. I almost forgot it. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 26. Second Timothy chapter 2, in verse 25. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Have you ever been there? Yes. Talking to somebody, amen. Trying to tell them what the truth is, and they are just opposing themselves. They are causing their own destruction, and they're stubborn, and they won't turn. And they're blaming you, by the way. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and look at the phrase, look at what it says here, how the language is, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You know, we have here is we have a picture of a sinner that is resisting his own deliverance. He's resisting the deliverance. I remember when they were teaching us water survival, and some of you guys, if you were lifeguards in high school, you might have had somewhat the same thing. And it's how to rescue a drowning person. And you see all the things, you know, when they get somebody's drowning, you know, very seldom do you see anybody dive in and go, you know, grab them. What they do is they throw them something, right? Remember, we were watching a movie one time, and the guy, he threw a life preserver out there. And my wife said, yeah, what a wimp, you know. He's only throw a life. He's not even going to get into the water itself. And I had to explain to her, look, drowning people kill people. They get in that water, and they start panicking, and then they start grabbing you. And there's a way that you do it. You put a guy in a half Nelson. You clock him if you have to stun him long enough to bend his arms behind his back, and then you carry him to shore. You swim sideways to shore, holding him, pinning his arms so that he can't kill you. Do you know that God is the deliverer? He delivers us from the snare of the fowler. What's the language in that psalm right there? Is that surely he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Look, there are times when you are going to get caught. And you need a deliverer. Amen. You need someone who's going to be able to come in on your side. And sometimes that deliverance is in the form of a Bible verse. Sometimes that deliverance is in the form of another brother coming to you, a sister, and trying to reason with you and trying to make you to understand what God's way is. And sometimes he just supernaturally comes in and does amazing things and gets you out of stuff. And I've seen that happen in my own life before. It's just an amazing thing. But you can't struggle against God. Listen, if he's trying to help you, you got to let God have his way. If he's trying to instruct you, if he's trying to get you to see some danger, you've got to let him have his way. We are real stubborn sometimes, amazingly stubborn, and to where we think we're trying to free ourselves, but actually we just get caught that much more deeply. Listen, there are some things when you got to have God to do it. You got to have God. I remember my friend, and I was telling him, I said, let's do this. And the thing that he wouldn't do is he wouldn't change his friends. He wouldn't change his running buddies. He wouldn't change his lifestyle. The only thing that he wanted to do was get rid of cocaine, but he didn't want to get rid of drinking and some of the other addictions that he had. He only wanted to get rid of that one thing. Listen, there is a package deal going on when it comes to temptation. And if you're thinking of your scheming in your own ways of how you're going to do things, you know, total surrender is really the only way you're going to do it. As much as you struggle against that snare, there are some snares that tighten up and get tighter and tighter as you struggle. You need the deliverance that comes from God. Look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 1 and verse 10. This is actually in the middle of the sentence, but it's an incredible portion right here. In verse 10, speaking of God, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. I'm sure you've examined this verse before. If you haven't, then it's a very interesting perspective on the deliverance of God. God's the deliverer. And what does it say here? It gives three particular tenses. It gives past, and it gives present, and it gives future. In verse 10, it says, who delivered us from so great a death. What is the greatest deliverance that we can possibly attribute to God? Delivering us from a little temptation here or there? No, there's something greater than that. The day he delivered us from sin. Amen. You see, because this whole idea, this is also a metaphor of the sinner that is snared by the devil, and God has supernaturally, by his blood, by his sacrifice, he has made a way for you to be delivered from the snare of the devil. That's called salvation. And that happens in the past. And no matter what your present state is, you can rejoice you've been saved, that you've been delivered by God from so great a death. It's not arrogant for me to say that I'm never going to hell. It's not arrogance. It's the truth. I am never going to suffer the condemnation because Jesus Christ has already suffered it for me.
Thank you, Lord.
That right there frees you. That's a deliverance.
Amen.
It's a deliverance that's an amazing deliverance.
Amen.
But I want you to know that that's not the only deliverance that God's in the business of doing. Because in the middle of that verse, it says, who delivered us from so great a death. And then he has it in the present tense, who doth deliver. Which tells me right now that even now, right now, today, he's still delivering us from sin. He's our advocate. He's the one that is out for us. He is giving us the tools that we need to deliver ourselves from temptation, from all of the things that this life has to offer. You need to take advantage of that.
Amen.
He delivers us on a daily basis. It's called sanctification. He's making us into what he wants us to be. And you gotta trust him for that. You gotta thank him for that. But then at the end of that verse, it says, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Oh, that's the third deliverance. That's the one that's I have no clue how in the world that possibly is going to work out. It almost sounds like science fiction, but he says that one day he's going to deliver us even from this flesh. I was talking with somebody this week that was having a hard time, and with a lot of physical issues and getting real depressed because of the physical issues. But they were saved. They were a believer. And I said, look, I said, all of that it's just the tent. That's not you. That's just your tent. You're feeling bad because your tent has holes in it. But it's just the tent. The real person is on the inside. And one day that tent is going to lay in the grave. It can lay in the grave. It can die healthy or it can die sick. But one way or another, that tent is going to die. And that's our final deliverance.
Amen.
Yeah, right now in this life, yeah, we got a lot of stuff that we got to deal with. You got to deal with your own lusts, your own enticements. You got to deal with the enticements of the world. You've got to deal with all of the voices, all of the pictures around you that are trying to convince you to go any other way but God. And you've got to struggle against that. But there's going to be a day when that struggle is going to cease forever. We're going to be delivered from the very bondage of corruption. I'm not going to forget anymore. I'm not going to get angry anymore. I'm not going to have all of these self-destructive emotions anymore. I'm going to be able to pray. I don't know if we're going to pray in heaven. I don't know. Maybe we'll just talk to him face to face, I guess. But if we do pray, I'll be able to bow my head and not have anything else coming into my mind while I'm trying to pray. It's going to be clean. I'm looking forward to the day when I'm going to be able to sit there by the river, the water of life, you know, with my pole in the water maybe, and open up the morning newspapers and there's going to be no victims. No victims, no abductions, no rapes, no unjustified murders, no theft, no corruption, no nothing. One day this deliverance will finally be complete. Over there in Psalm 90, we have that verse, but let's turn to a final verse in Psalm 124. We actually sing this song. Verses 7 and 8 at the end of the psalm. It says, our soul is escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. This is the song of the delivered right here. Oh, it's fitting that we sing this song. It's fitting that we are happy at this particular deal right here. This is an appropriate song for us to sing because our souls truly have been delivered from the snare of the fowler. God broke that snare and he freed us by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we are free forever.
Amen.
We need to sing his song. We need to show his praises. We need to let the world know what kind of liver he is.
Amen.
Listen, people nowadays, they're distracted. They've got so much on their mind, and Christians are, they got a lot on their plates too. But man, I've just noticed that people out there in the world, they've got a lot on their plates and they've got no answers. Not long ago at our work, we had, I had been dealing with one coworker and just couldn't really get through. And then we had a death of one of our colleagues, and it kind of hit everybody hard, was unexpected. And at that point, then all of a sudden, there were some questions. There were some things. Listen, there's a deliverer out there.
Amen.
And I got to tell this person that there was a deliverer that could deliver her from her sins, that could make her clean, that could prepare her to go through that valley of the shadow of death and to meet the Lord when she dies. We've got to sing the song of our deliverer. We've got to treat him like the deliverer that he really is. And we've got to let the world know what an amazing deliverer we have. Surely he hath delivered me from the snare of the fowler. And I thank him for that. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord Jesus.